This is Nevin Campanella bringing you a radio talk show that has no limits and bows to no one. From this microphone, we bring you guests who will lead you across those shadowy plains of forbidden knowledge. And in a few minutes, our radio venture will be brought to us by David Oates, who will give us some insight into the very unusual phenomenon of reverse speech. Now, folks, you heard probably the testing that was going on, and we have a studio of new equipment, and at the time I happened to be alone in the studio, but we are on the air, and this is going to be the kind of show that is absolutely fascinating. It's a field that I truly don't understand. I don't know why it works, but eventually after I get through a few more items here, like in the news, David is going to give us some insight as to what really is reverse speech about. Okay, you can join in our adventure by calling into our show. Our U.S. toll-free number is 1-888-268-4313, and our international number is 1-530-876-3222. And let's see, first of all, let's do a little time check, 8:04, and a little news update. The Bush administration, this is from Matt Drudge, so I don't know whether you can trust this or not. The Bush administration is planning to use nuclear weapons against Iran to prevent it acquiring its own atomic warheads. This is claimed by an investigative writer, quote, with high-level Pentagon and intelligence contact. You know, folks, that could be the janitor in the Pentagon. If it's coming out of Matt Drudge, who knows? How about from a blog, from anything they say? The new AP poll shows that the GOP-led Congress has a 30%, ooh, that's low, approval rating on their job performance. These numbers are scary. You better believe it, folks. Okay, continuing on, we've lost every advantage we've ever had. They sure had. Biggest advantage they had was they stole the election in 2000. They did it again in 2004. That was their advantage. Guess what? Guess what, folks? All the chicanery is coming home to roost. Tony Fabrizio asked this question. He wonders, why is this? While the reasons for this abysmal approval rating seem fairly obvious to anyone not steeped in the warm broth constantly being ladled out by the White House, GOP hardliners are probably scratching their head and a few other body places. Folks, what's going on with the right wing, the Republican Party? Let's see. Can I put it in a nutshell? I'll try to make this easy for everyone. We got a screwball in the White House. How's that sound for bringing it home? George Bush has got his own little private war going on. He disseminates information by telling his underlings, yeah, it's classified, but go ahead and leak it. This, folks, is very strange. We are in a very strange time in American politics. But you know what? I've been told by some very spiritual people that this is going to change, and it's going to change soon. My God, let's hope it does. An announcement. The format of Waterworld Radio is changing, as will most shows on VBS Radio. Waterworld Radio will start 6 minutes after 8 p.m. Pacific and end at 8:50 p.m. Pacific time. And I tried to stick to that schedule tonight, but there was no way to do it. But we will get better at this. And our guest tonight is David Oates, discoverer of reverse speech. David currently lives in Australia and continues working in one of the most astounding discoveries of science. Reverse speech may be the ultimate equalizer between people because it reveals the truth behind the lies. It is an extremely sensitive form of lie detection, but it has applications that may be similar to tools of divination. Now, that's an odd one. I got to ask David about what he means by that, divination. These are some of the questions I might ask our guest tonight. Why does it even work? It would be number one. But I'm not going to bore you with a list of questions. Hi, David. Thank you for joining us tonight.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
David, I've been a long fan of yours for many years, going back to the old Coast to Coast radio. And
thank you very much.
I've always enjoyed your presentations. I got to tell you, David, the whole area of reverse speech to me is a mystery. I mean, it's an absolute mystery because it defies the imagination. What I would like you to do, though, before we actually get started in the concept, is why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how did you manage to get involved in something as different as reverse speech?
Oh, well, that's a very interesting question. Well, for a start, as you can tell from by the accent, I'm Australian, and I lived in the United States for 10 years. That was back from 1989 through to 1999, while I lectures and taught on reverse speech. I'm a youth worker by profession, and it was in my job as a youth worker that I came across reverse speech. I was running a halfway house for street kids, and back in Australia in 1983, and some of these kids had heard that if you played rock and roll records backwards, you can hear these strange messages. And so they were playing records backwards and came to me and asked me what I thought about it. And I thought it was a load of rubbish, but I'm a bit of an electronics buff. I'm a ham radio. I'll play it myself. So I went home that night and got out some equipment and started running these tapes in reverse, and I could hear what they were claiming was there, and I was just curious about the whole thing, and kept on researching and running tapes backwards, and then I accidentally stumbled across a bit in human speech, and I was hooked, and that was 22 years ago now, and I've been doing this full time as my permanent full time profession since 1987. That's when I started making my living out from it, and it's almost 20 years now since. And I've travelled and lectured quite extensively, and here I am.
Well, I know you've done quite a bit of work in the area, and I mean it just astounds me. Now you have a number of you've got some books, you've got some tapes. So let's take them one by one. On your website, it says, just released RS Pro 2.0, updated version.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us what that's about.
Oh, right, sure. Well, RS Pro 2.0 is a software program that we have developed ourselves, specifically designed for reverse speech. It essentially turns your computer into a little mini reversing machine. It plays audio forwards and backwards and varies the speed. And you can bookmark your reversals and write transcripts, all of that's built into the software program itself. So it's a great way for the avid young experimenter to get started into reverse speech and try that for themselves.
All right, you also have a book called Voices from the Unconscious.
Oh, yes, right.
That's one of your definitive books, isn't it?
Sorry?
That is one of your definitive pieces of work.
Right. Yeah, that's one of three books I've written on reverse speech. Voices from the Unconscious is a theoretical overview of reverse speech. It presents the theory and it discusses some of the proofs that we have that this is a valid and real phenomenon. So yeah, it's the definitive work on reverse speech. There's been two other books I've written, and I'm actually in the process of writing a fourth one right now.
And you also have a set of audio tapes called The Voice of Truth. What are those?
Oh yeah, they're four audio tapes that go through reverse speech in popular areas. There's a section on politics, and there's another section on murder cases. I think we are going to O.J. Simpson, and then there's reversals on children and music, and a section on using reverse speech and therapy, and some of the reversals were found in that area.
And you also?
So it's an audio presentation.
Do you have
a cassette player on it, isn't it?
You mentioned politicians. Is George Bush included on that tape?
Oh, no, we made that tape back in 96, so that was back in the Clinton era.
Oh, well, then you probably have something on him. That's got to be interesting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. we've got some doozies on Bill Clinton. He was a great man to do reversals on back in his day.
You use a concept to explain some of the things that are occurring, and you call them metaphors, and apparently you have a reverse speech metaphor dictionary. Tell us about. And describe metaphor, first of all.
Well, at its deepest levels, reverse speech communicates in metaphor. Most examples I play on the air are fairly well straightforward English examples. But particularly when you're using reverse speech in the therapeutic situation and people talking about behavioral patterns and unconscious structures, then a lot of the descriptions come out in metaphor. It might use words like the wolf has fallen in the lake, or the castle walls have fallen down, or very unusual phrases. Now, over the years, I have gotten a fairly good idea about what a lot of these metaphors mean, and I've gradually written a metaphor dictionary that gives common meanings and descriptions of these reverse speech metaphors, the way I've experienced them over the years. And there's over 2,000 references in the dictionary now. It's an essential tool for anyone who's serious about the field of reverse speech, because it describes and gives descriptions for a lot of these deep metaphorical statements that anyone who gets involved in reverse speech is going to come across, because it's just such a natural part of reverse speech.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying is that the same metaphor is common between all people. Is that correct?
Certainly in the Western culture, yes. And we've had students from Germany and South America who have taken training, and they've found similar metaphors in their culture as well. So it would appear to be across the board.
Okay, in order for a person to do this, let's suppose, I don't know.
What if what?
In order for a person to do reverse speech, they need a machine, right?
Well, they can start with the software, but a machine would certainly help, absolutely.
Well, I mean, if I can't carry my computer around. Let's suppose I want to go to a party. I don't want to tell anyone what I'm doing. I just want to record. Do you have a machine that does that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, of course. Yes. Yeah. We have a little reversing machine that's pocket size that fits into your pocket. You can have an external microphone attached to it if you wish to get a better recording. That certainly enables you to run tapes forwards and backwards and at variable speeds. Of course, that's available from my website as well. Reversing machines and the software. Essential tools, really, for anyone who wants to get seriously involved in reverse speech to have both.
Oh, absolutely. I would imagine if you're going to get serious about this, folks, and we're going to cover in depth here reverse speech, but I wanted to start at the top with what David has done in the way of writing and software and audio tapes and metaphor dictionaries, because I wanted you to get a feel for David's background. I mean, David didn't just start yesterday, didn't just drop out of the sky. This man has been doing this for over 20 years. And if
I'm certainly an all-time pro at this, and I've trained hundreds of students over the years. You know, there's quite a few people out there doing this for themselves as a full-time occupation now.
Well, if anybody wants to get involved, they need to get to your website, David, and they need to get some of this material. Now, what do they have to do? Tell the audience how they get in touch with you, how they can purchase some of this material.
All right. Well, you can get to our website, www.reversespeech.com. I'm actually trying to bring my site up right now to check on the contact details. But yeah, www.reversespeech.com. We also have a toll-free number in the United States, and that number is 1-866-978-5910. That's 1-866 0800-978-5910. And you can get hold of me via that number if you wish. And go to the website, like I said, reversespeech.com. You can email me if you want to get in contact with me personally. Email me at backwards, B-A-C-K-W-A-R-D-S, at reversespeech.com. And I'll come straight to my desk, and I normally answer my emails fairly promptly.
He is prompt, folks. Every time I've ever sent David an email, he responds quickly. David, one more time, give that email address up, but a little bit slower, guy. Your Aussie slang was a little bit tough.
All right, okay. The email address is backwards. That's B-A-C-K-W-A-R-D-S, backwards, at reversespeech, R-E-V-E-R-S-E-S-P-E-E-C-H. Gee, did I say that right? .com, backwards at reversespeech.com.
Wonderful. I don't know if you're aware, David, of your accent. I get to talk to people all over the world and a number of people in Australia, and you have a clear, distinctive Australian accent, and I love it. I absolutely
thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, David, talking to you, I always feel like I'm watching Crocodile Dundee. You know,
he's got the classic Aussie accent that Mick Dundee does.
Yeah, I got a picture of you wrestling crocodiles, and I don't know if you've ever done it, but that's the picture I get every time I talk to you.
No, I'm not a crocodile wrestler. I'm a computer geek. Picture me sitting in front of a computer working, and that's me.
Okay, David, let's get into, first of all, let's talk about the history of your discovery. Now, you did it by playing rock and roll music, and at first, did you think that it was just accidental, or did you think it was planted when you first heard it?
Oh, well, fortunately, because I've got a good audio background, I understand audio fairly well, and I knew from the very first one I found that it hadn't been planted intentionally. Now, there are some instances where background messages are planted intentionally by rock and roll artists, and that's the technique called backward masking.
Why would anyone do that, David?
Oh, well, for various reasons, for special effects. It has that backward sound that has usual special effects thing to it. But also, a lot of people, because there was a big controversy erupted after in the late 60s with the Beatles and Paul is Dead, controversy where the Beatles allegedly hid backward messages on their records, thinking that Paul McCartney had died. Anyway, what that led to was a lot of people started playing records backwards.
Was that actually on the record? Paul is Dead?
Paul is a Dead Man. Miss Him and Miss Him and Miss Him. And another one says, I Buried Paul. But I should note that Paul McCartney actually came out publicly just a few years ago now. And the first time the Beatles have publicly admitted this, that yes, they did do this deliberately as a marketing gimmick to get people to buy their records. So anyway, teenagers around the world started playing records backwards, and the musicians got on the bandwagon, and they said, oh, let's put our own little backward messages in. So to add to the whole, and that only added to the whole mystique and of backward messages in rock and roll.
Okay, you also talk about the theory of reverse speech in terms of human speech having two distinctive yet complementary functions and modes. You talk about the overt and the covert. Could you explain that to the audience, what that means?
Sure. Yeah. All right. Once I began finding reversals in normal human speech, I knew that this was far more a significant phenomenon than just the oddity of finding backward messages in in music. And I was trying to work out what this actually was. I mean, how was it getting there? I mean, it was, you know, I was hearing all these backward phrases and not knowing what it was or how it was getting there. And, it was just really, I was writing my first book, which I had entitled Beyond Backward Masking, and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and thought, of course, it's another form of language. Language is bilevel, forwards as well as backwards. And I wrote my theory then in April of 1987. And the theory states that the process of human communication is twofold, forwards as well as backwards. Forwards is the overt mode of speech. It's overt because we can hear it and understand it. And reverse speech is the covert mode of speech. It's covert because we can't hear it. Unless, of course, we record tapes and run it in reverse. But the theory basically says that language is bilevel, forwards as well as backwards. And this reverse form of language is a natural function of the human mind that's previously been unexplored.
Okay, the question...
So that's what the theory essentially means.
David, the question that comes up to in my own mind is what would be the utilitarian value of having the covert mode, because the only time it can become recognized is with high technology, such as the kind that you developed in order to deal with it, to hear it. So why is this even there?
I think it's part of our survival instincts. Reverse speech is a communication process. By that I mean that we can all hear the reversals of each other all the time. And so it's another way in which the unconscious mind communicates. We often hear the reversals of each other and recognize it as human intuition or that gut feeling or sense. So that's part of its function. Part of its function is in the human intuition area to alert us of incongruities, so we can or cannot trust that person. The unconscious communicates through a variety of ways. Body language, for example, is fairly well known, and reverse speech is just another way in which the unconscious communicates.
Yeah, it makes sense in terms of what you just said. And of course, by what you just said, it means that we do have the ability, without technology, to pick this up at some level.
Right, exactly correct. We've done electroencephalograph testing where we can see rapid activity between the left and right brain hemispheres right from the moment a reversal begins to the moment a reversal ends. So clearly the brain is receiving and responding to these backward messages in some way.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating, because it says, at least to me, that somewhere in the development of humans, we set up something so that we can communicate with each other for things that, for whatever reason, we may not want to have in an overt mode. Now, all I can do is guess at this, but in other words, if a person is a a constant liar, they suffer from lying, maybe for them that particular part of their subconscious is used to give out the maybe correct meanings of what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can think of thousands of situations in which it might become useful.
It's applications in many fields are just mind blowing. Just in the forensic area alone, it has tremendous applications. It will tell us a whole lot more whether someone is lying or telling the truth. It can even tell us where they've hidden specific evidence that the police need. Essentially whatever is on someone's mind has the potential to appear in their reversals. That's got to have amazing forensic applications. I use it primarily in therapy. That's my unique application of the technology, and it will tell us exactly what's going on in someone's mind. often give us the reasons for someone's problems, and will often also give us areas, suggestions for areas to work into. And the unconscious is the source of human behavior, so to get a technology that looks into the unconscious is very exciting.
Do you find this in children, or is it just in adults?
Oh, no, it's occurring in children as well. Children are learning to speak in reverse before they do forwards. We have children speaking in reverse from as early as 4 months of age, just single words here and there. And then their reverse language gradually evolves to two or three word sentences, and this is before they're speaking forwards. And then as forward speech begins in, 18 months or so, depending on the child, then the reverse speech is actually developed at a faster rate than what the forward speech is, which is really quite fascinating.
David, is it possible to play an example for us of this reverse speech? In other words, do you have anything that...
Oh, I've got lots of examples. Well, seeing we just talked about kids, why don't we start off with a great one on a kid. This is a 4-month-old child. So let's run this forward. I think that's a bit too loud, is it?
Well, all I heard was a child crying, but...
Yep, okay, all right. Now run in reverse, and you'll hear the gibberish, and it's very clear, hello, right at the end. And again. Did you hear that there?
Yeah, I did. I'm amazed. 4 months old.
Yeah, that's at 4 months of age. Here, let me get another one up. Actually, I'm just trying to turn my volume down. That just sounded just a little bit too loud. So here's another great one on the kid. This is at 3 years of age. And I think about 2.5. And where's the one I'm looking for? Yeah, this one here. And it's a little child playing with ducks.
Yeah, sing a duck. No, go feed the duck.
Feed the bug.
Yeah, feed the bug.
And backwards he says, just love to be a friend.
Just love to be a friend.
Oh, that was clear. Oh, David.
Just love to be a friend.
That is so...
amazing, hey?
Oh, David, that is so clear.
Yeah, clear as day. And it's the exact thing you'd expect to hear from little kids playing with ducks.
Now wait a minute, David. People hearing that for the first time, did you ever get accused of making that up? I mean, that was as clear as a bell.
Oh, yeah. If I get accused of making it up, of course I don't. I'm just finding them amongst the... gibberish.
That is absolutely mind blowing.
Actually, in point of fact, it's quite a compliment when people do accuse of making it up, because I simply say, "Well, listen, I'm glad you think this stuff is so clear that someone's going to have made the thing up." But the fact is, these background messages occur, about once every 15 or 20 seconds of speech, and often they're as clear as the ones I play on the air.
In terms of the last one, the child, was a parent present? Would you, what was their reaction?
Yeah, this is actually one of my students, and she was out with her kids, and this is her kids, and she was actually playing with some ducks out of the pond and caping them at the same time.
Oh, that had to blow the student away. I mean, David, that was so clear.
You
can't miss that one, folks. I mean, I'm tone deaf. I have bad hearing, but I'll tell you what, that was pretty clear.
Yeah, it certainly was.
One of the things that I'm thinking about is, let's suppose a couple, I don't know, one of them manages to get hold of your machine and they're sitting down but doesn't tell the mate that they got this machine going, and a conversation goes on, the person plays it backwards and picks up things that maybe the person wouldn't have normally said. I mean, can that occur?
Oh, that can, and it does happen. You know, we get done. Unfortunately, we get phone calls to our office periodically where someone has done exactly that, and a crisis has developed in their marriage or their relationship because of it. You know, sometimes there's things that are best that are left unsaid, and you can have these little thoughts that you choose not to act upon or not tell your spouse. But reverse speech can go right past those little conscious walls of protection we put up, and it's all very well to philosophically talk about truth and how the world needs truth, but to suddenly be confronted with it is quite a scary thing, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just kind of like hypothetically going on in my head here what would happen with a couple. So I guess there's a warning then attached to the use of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I'm training students, one of the things I tell my new students is that don't do it on yourself or your spouse for the first few months. Get used to it first in some other area because it can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yes, it can.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually have a warning on our website for people buy machines, that this is an area that you do need training in. And just buying a machine alone is not necessarily going to guarantee that you'll hear reversals or cause problems. It's a very complicated technology, far more complicated than people realize. And, yeah, there are a lot of safeguards that need to be taken.
David, I've tried listening a few times to reverse speech, and I didn't find anything, but then again, I got tired of listening, so I didn't listen that long.
Right.
What I'm wondering is, what motivated you to stick so long to gibberish until you found something? I mean, I tried it, and after a while, I couldn't stand it.
Well, you have to have an ear for it, too. You know, I have some students who start training and they will hear reversals as clear as day from day one. And some students struggle with it for weeks and weeks and weeks before they start to hear some. So, some people have a natural talent for it. I appear to have had a natural talent for it. You know, being a ham radio operator, I spent many hours on the air working through faint radio signals, so my ears were trained to hear a faint signal anyway. But why did I stick at it for so long, particularly in the early years, I often ask myself that, to be frank, there's another day that goes by where, you know, generally in a working day I'll do one or two tapes at least, analyze one or two tapes a day, sometimes three or four, and I ask myself, gee, why am I doing this? Why have I stuck at this for so long? And, I think it's curiosity is part of it. There's certainly something there, and it's clearly something that's quite fascinating and reveals some amazing information.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you find the first tape you played was not as clear as the second one, and if you came across the second one on your first time out, I mean, that certainly would motivate me, I guess.
Some of them are so clear. Let me play another one that's real clear.
Please do.
Sorry? This is Bob Dole, resigning from the Senate in 96.
You do not lay claim to the office you hold. It lays claim to you. Your obligation is to bring to it the gift you can of labor and honesty, and then to depart with grace.
And in reverse, he says, it's an honor.
It's an honor.
Yep, I hear it.
It's an honor.
I mean, that's really clear. It's clear as day. And here, let's play the whole tape backwards, and you'll hear the phrase amongst the gibberish.
Yes, well, it's an honor to be able to
appreciate
the
And you can hear that phrase, it's an honor, right amongst the gibberish.
It's clear. It's very clear. I mean, even amongst all the gibberish, when you played the whole tape, I could pick it up. I don't know if I could have picked it up if you hadn't told me.
Right.
But it was,
and
it was clear.
Yeah, and that's probably true, too. Yeah.
Is there... geez, you know, there's got to be an easier way to do this, David. I mean, is there a piece of software that you can run through and it picks up, you know, English language?
Well, you need a pretty sophisticated voice recognition software program to find the reversals, and I don't think voice recognition technology is sufficiently advanced yet to locate them. You've got to train the computer to recognize your voice, and, you know, to do that every single time. Anyway, I personally don't think technology is at a stage yet where the computer will find them without help. But, saying that, you know, voice recognition technology has come a long way in the last few years. Who knows what it could do?
Yeah, I mean, if you get it to a point where you can have software do it, there's a lot of analysis. Do you have anything on record there of any of our politicians in the United States that we ought to hear? Don't play me the good stuff, David. I want to hear the truth come out behind the lie.
Oh, the truth come out behind the lie.
Yeah, what do you got for us?
Well, there's certain stuff I can't play on the air, unfortunately.
Why? Why? What's stopping you?
No, I'm just talking about language. There's certain words you can't play on the air. Like Bush, for example, is full of abuse backwards. He's a very aggressive man. I'm trying to find a tame one that I can play to start off with. All right, here he is. Here's George Bush. Let's run this forward.
Today, the Federal Government Council of Economic Advisers released a report that estimates the bipartisan agreement reached this week can save 300,000 American jobs.
And backwards, he says, Senate, that all first-year losers. That's a fairly tame one on George Bush.
When was this tape done?
I've been playing this one on the air for 3 or 4 years, so that would have been probably 4 years ago.
Uh-huh. Amazing. And absolutely amazing.
And it shows a disdain, you know, for, in this case, for the... Senate.
He's got disdain for everything, David. I mean,
he does. I mean, he absolutely does.
Yeah, there's no question about it. This man, I don't know. I think he's living on the moon. He doesn't seem to relate to the American public very well. You got anything else by him?
Oh well, here's another one on Bush. This is right after 9/11.
An act of war was declared on the United States of America.
Says an act of war was declared in the United States of America. Now the conspiracy buffs among your audience will have a field day with this reversal. He says, rule the planet, Dad.
Rule the planet.
Whoa! Oh, David, that is...
Hear that one? Huh?
That is a mind blower.
It certainly is. That raises a whole bunch of questions.
David, I mean, that's right on the nail. Rule the planet, Dad. You know, that's him talking to his father, folks, and he's saying, I don't know whether it's the Illuminati or what it is, but, David, you really got him on that one.
Now that one's a doozy. Here's a tame one that shows motivation. He's talking about 2 weeks before America went into Iraq, and he's talking about the need to establish a new government in Iraq.
Help that nation to build a just government after decades of brutal dictatorship. The form and leadership of that government is for the Iraqi people to choose.
And where he says the form and leadership of that government is for the Iraqi people to choose, backwards he says, we will sit in Baghdad.
We will sit in Baghdad.
Yeah, that speaks for itself. He's got designs of having a some political say.
Oh yeah, I mean, and that's also very clear. I mean, you don't have to guess on that one. That's very clear.
Oh no, and that's the thing I like to point out to people all the time is that most of these reversals are extremely clear voters. you don't have to guess over them. They're quite plain and obvious amongst the gibberish.
Well, let's talk about the statistics of it a little bit. In a string of speech, how often would you expect to find a backward presentation from someone who normally makes presentations? In other words, do you have to record for 1 minute, 10 minutes, 2 days?
Right.
What would you expect?
Well, that depends entirely on the type of speech. Reversals occur most frequently in generally lax conversations or conversations of high emotion. Now, in that type of situation, you can expect to find reversals once every 10 or 15 seconds in a normal, casual, relaxed, everyday conversation. If you are sitting in and talking into your computer, into the microphone, the reversals will drop off, and they'll drop off to once every 30 or 45 seconds. That's because you have moved out of the casual, free-flowing type of conversation and got to something that's more structured and more organized. Now, on a politician's speeches, you can find reversals as little as once every 3 or 4 minutes. They don't occur very often at all. Now, we believe that all this is because the reverse speech is coming from the right brain hemisphere. And the more someone is into their right brain hemisphere, and the more that is influencing their speech, the greater will be the occurrence of speech reversal.
Well, you said you use this in a therapeutic situation. Would you, for instance, let's say there's a couple having marital difficulty, would you record their conversation while they're in your office, or do you do it differently?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In point of fact, I've done that many times. I enjoy doing session work with marriage couples. It's quite a fascinating. You'll get to see all the unconscious interactions and interludes and why they're with each other, and for a marriage situation, they'll come to me, we'll just sit down and have a general conversation, normally for 40 to 45 minutes with a married couple, and they'll go away, and then I'll analyze the tape, and we'll get together a week or so later, and the reversal will tell us exactly what's going on.
Well, okay, let's pick a scenario. Let's suppose a couple comes in and the wife is accusing the husband of infidelity, and he says, absolutely not. Have you ever run across a situation in which it came out on a tape that he was?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Truth has got to be communicated very delicately.
I don't know how you do that one delicately, David.
No,
I mean, that's right in the
tact.
That's right in his space. I mean,
yes, it is. It's right in his space. Look, I've had people react very negatively to this over the years. I remember one time a man and woman came to me who were going into business together, and the woman insisted that they do reverse speech analysis before she signed the contract. And reversal came back with the partner she was going into business with had their intention of ripping her off and conning her. Now, I had to tell them all this while the bloke was sitting there. And I was like, oh, my gosh. But I did, and he squirmed in his chair, and he was very quiet for the whole thing. In fact, he was exceptionally quiet. And anyway, subsequently, the woman didn't do business with him. And he went into business with someone else, and you get that 6 months later, he ripped them off and shot through with $several thousand. So the reversals were quite accurate and spot on.
But
you've got to have a strong stomach.
Yeah, I would imagine that every once in a while, you must have some people really angry at you.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, of course, the story about when I was living in America is fairly well known. I got into a lot of trouble living in the United States, and my house was fire bombed on a couple of occasions, and actually I've got a tape of one of these fires. It's really a great example of reverse speech. Let me run this forward. This is one of my house fires, and we actually got this one on tape because I was in session with a client, so the tape was running. And my secretary runs in and says, David, the house is on fire.
Last images.
Yeah. You can hear the emotion in her voice.
Yeah.
Now, he runs this backwards, and she says exactly the same thing, with just a one-word change. She says, the house is on fire, our house is on fire. And this is backwards.
Yep, it's
and
there.
Again.
Okay.
Dividing is
Forward, you got, okay, so you got the same thing, forward and backward. Now,
now that
in itself is very different and absolutely amazes me. What is happening to the person at that point in time? Is it the hysterics? Is it the emotion? What is causing?
Oh well, yes, she's obviously highly emotional, and she had to communicate the truth to me as fast as she could. So her brain says, "Bang, let's go forward and reverse and communicate both channels at once." So she totally got my attention.
Yeah, so she
it was the height of emotion.
Oh yeah, I guess. To be sure that you didn't miss the message, she gave it to you in reverse. David, you mentioned corporate applications. How would a corporation use this?
Oh well, there's many ways that a corporation can use it. One way is if they're about to go into business negotiations or discussions or mergers, the first thing they should be doing is taping their meetings, the initial business discussions, and the reversals will tell the business owner whether this business merger is in his best interest or not. This reverse fish has been used in this way many, many times. And it will give you insight into the agenda and motivation and motives, and not just that, but also into the unconscious behavior patterns your potential partner is running. He may be a very honest man, but he may have unconscious sabotage that would affect your business as well. So reverse speech will not just give you an idea of truth or lies, it'll give you a personality profile and behavioral analysis of any potential partners. So that's a great application in business. I've got one company in Sydney who will, before they will employ a new employee, they will tape the interview and send me the tape and want me to analyze the tape. So that's another application in employee selection.
Have you ever been asked to do this in terms of, I'm not quite sure how to say this. Yeah, there are a lot of people who present themselves as psychics. And they have people convinced, you know, people listen to shows, they buy their books, and on and on and on and on. Have you ever tested this equipment on any of a psychic's conversation?
Yes, I have. Not a great deal, but I have. The ones I've looked at were really quite fascinating because they contained further prediction in reverse, which was...
They had the prediction in reverse?
Yes, they did, which was fascinating. But I haven't done many. I've only probably done, two or three in all my years' career, so I can't speak as an authority across the board. But the one I did look at, I distinctly remember one I looked at and was absolutely fascinating because it contained accurate predictions in the reversal.
That has to be wonderful that for that person's credibility. David, you know what? We are out of time. I really enjoy having you on this show. I love hearing those tapes. And, boy, I'll tell you what, David, the ones on George Bush, they ought to go on national radio. People ought to be playing that. Anyway.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah. Anyway, I have to say goodnight to you, David.
A pleasure, as always.
And you have yourself a wonderful evening, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
And that, folks, ends our Sunday night adventure. Until next time, this is Nevin Campanella, wishing all of you health, happiness, and a safe journey on your chosen path. Goodbye, and Godspeed.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.